My name is Russell. I'm an alcoholic member of the Carl Gables Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, hi, everybody. And, you know, what's the use in preparing? That's what I say. I don't prepare much. I really don't. You know, I sort of think about what I'm going to do, and I'm thinking about themes to say. And, you know, at my age, which I think is, I think I'm 57. I'm not sure. I may be 58. March 16th, 1949. What am I? Does anybody know? I'm 57, oh, thank God. But, you know, when you get to a certain point, at least I get some, I don't know what this deal is, that your memory, short-term, long-term, forget about it. It's just gone, so, you know. But it helps you live it, that one day at a time thing. Cuts out all that projection and remorse stuff. But in any event, but I do try to think of at least maybe one or two things that I might say. There's no use trying to remember it or anything because I'm going to forget it by the time I get up here. And, you know, there's certain things I want to read out of the big book, and I basically probably read the same thing over and over again because I think they're paramount. I think they're important. And I don't think I was taught that there's nothing wrong with repetition because 99% of the means we go to a repetition anyway, but I don't find anything wrong with that because it's funny how you can repeat the same phrase or read the same thing in the book over and over again and how it could mean something different. Or all of a sudden, one day, it can hit you. You know, it's just because your life sort of melds into the steps. And, you know, you could read something and read something over and over again and not mean anything to you. And then one day, you're going through something, like maybe something Dolores is going through or has been through. Or something's happening to you on a particular day. And all of a sudden, like a skeleton key, like some sort of key, your circumstances and your life and your attitude and your emotions meld into a line in the big book, and all of a sudden the big book comes alive in your heart for the first time. You know, that sort of happened to me with my, and you know, I was listening, Dolores said something, everybody was just fantastic. I got to tell you something, I had a guy who called me up who I sponsor. I think I sponsor him, I'm not sure, you know. Did I tell you the story about Monkey Joe? About the guy, I probably told you that story, you know. I had a guy call me up, and he started telling me this whole convoluted problem. And after he was done telling me, you know, one of these alky problems, you know, about, I hadn't heard from the guy in like 15, 20 years or something like that. You know, I'm married to the gal, but, you know, she's doing this, and she's a heroin addict, and why don't you leave? I can't leave because, you know, then she'll kill the baby, and you know, stuff like, you know, one of these things, no matter what you throw at him, he can't do it, you know what I mean? Yeah, no matter how you try to save him, he gives you that response, he says, no, I can't do that, I can't do that. So you're basically left with the attitude, well, then I guess you got to drink and kill yourself, you know, I mean, there's nothing, and so, you know, after we went through that, I said, you know, Joe, I said, you know, I appreciate you calling me up, but I haven't heard from you in 15 years, you really ought to tell this kind of stuff to your sponsor. He says, why do you think I'm calling? So, said, Joe, that was 15 years ago. I haven't heard from you in 15 years. He says, well, I haven't had a problem, you know. You know. That's why he's in the soup he's in, because he wasn't, like, checking up, you know. And so I had a guy who called me up the other day, and he was, you know, feeling very depressed, because alcoholics never get depressed. They just get they skip right over depressed into very depressed. They really do. There's no such thing as an alcoholic being depressed. You know, just listen for it. You listen for an alcoholic telling you I'm depressed today. It's never. It's always I'm very depressed, you know. They skip right over that depressed thing. Depressed is for wimps. They are very depressed, suicidal. And so he called me up, and he was very depressed. He does this very depressed stuff, and it's a part of the deal. There's a possibility at some point in time I might mention the eighth step, but don't worry if I don't, because we got the ninth step next week, and I'll cover it anyway. But in any event, I told him, sometimes, you know, very often, actually, and I think some of the guys I sponsor understand this, when I sound sort of mean and curt with them, it really is my way of saying, don't you understand, I love you, you know, and it's... because, you know, I just get straight to the point, and I said, well, listen, you're still going to the car room, right? He says, you're still sitting in the back of the room like you have been for the last 5 years? Yeah, I says, well, listen, this is what I want you to do. I said, tomorrow I want you to sit in the front of the room. I want you to be the first one in the front of the room, and I want you to share. And I want you to do this every day from now on for the next 6 months or something. Then I hung up, and I said, you understand what I just said? Yeah. Then I hung up the phone. And so 3 days later, he called me up, and he says, you know, hi. I said, so how are you doing? He says, I feel great. He says, I feel great. He says, it's over. When it just left like that. He says, did you go to car with me? He says, yeah. He says, did you do what I tell you to do? He says, no. He said, well, you want me to be honest with you, don't you? I said, well, yeah, I want you to be honest with me. He says, well, you plan on doing what I tell you to do? He says, no. I said, okay. Well, listen, it's nice talking to you. Goodbye. But the point is, that's why I can't tell you how incredible it is to me. I give all credit to God. I got to be honest with you with that. But, I mean, it's always incredible to me when I hear anybody say at any time something like, I read the book because I heard Russell say to read it. You know what I mean? I mean, whenever I'm so used to people not doing anything I suggest that it's it blows me away when I hear there's actually somebody that actually took a suggestion up, you know. And I was at a meeting where you come to a meeting like this and you're prepared to say something. And before I start the meeting, I'm having a conversation. I don't know who it was with Bill and somebody. I said, the next thing you know, I'm thinking about something else. I said, I got to mention that during the meeting. And then I hear Dolores speak, and I remembered a time when I was at a meeting and I had about 4 or 5 years or 6 years, something, three, four years, something like that. And some guy, and I was, and some gal who had like 9 or 10 years said, my name is so-and-so, and, you know, and I feel great, and I've been in AA for 9 years, and I've never had a bad moment, and, you know, my life is wonderful, and it's a miracle, and my best day sober, worst day sober, better than whatever that saying is that we say, and I'm sitting there, and I want to rip her lungs out because I'm 3 years sober, and I'm bouncing against the walls. I'm going nuts here. I'm like having the worst time of my life, and I want to kill her. And you know something? Here's the deal. I was what I was feeling and what I was expressing and what was going on with me was the absolute truth. And here's the deal. What she was feeling, what was going on with her in her mind was the absolute truth. She wasn't a phony baloney. She wasn't anything. You know, it was all true. The whole deal, you know? And there's a line in the 12 and 12. It says, these little studies of A's 12 steps now come to a close. We have been considering so many problems that it may appear that A consists mainly of racking dilemmas and troubleshooting. To a certain extent, that is true. We have been talking about problems because we are problem people who have found a way up and a way out and who wish to share our knowledge of that way with all who can use it. For it is only by accepting and solving our problems that we can begin to get right with ourselves and with all the world about us and with him, there he goes again, whoever he is. You know, we got to track that guy down. It's like all over the big book. He's all over the what? With him, whoever he is, and with him who presides over all of us. Understanding is the key to right principles and attitudes, and right action is the key to good living. Therefore, the joy of good living is the theme of AA's 12 steps. So, I guess what it sort of means is, I'm thinking about this. I said, so what's the difference? You know, one day I'm feeling horrible and terrible and crazy and nuts, you know, and is that AA? And one day I'm feeling great, like my life has never been better, and, you know. And, you know, the deal is, here's the difference. The deal is that in either respect, I wasn't drinking. And it sounds so, you know, and, you know, I know, because I've been here for a few weeks, and I know how I am, and I know what I do. You know, sometimes I feel like at an AA meeting, starting off by saying, I would like to state that one time I did drink. You know what I mean? Because I know I don't talk a lot about drinking. I really don't talk a lot about drinking. I understand that. You know, it's a weird thing. I heard, you know, sometimes you think that if you don't talk about drinking, if you don't give a drunkalogue, and I love drunkalogues, and I can do that deal. If you don't talk about drunkalogues, it's not going to help the new person. And yet I've been at meetings where I don't mention anything about drinking, and a guy picks up a white chip. How does that happen? How does it happen that you talk only about feelings and emotions and attitudes and what's going on in your heart, and you don't even mention drinking, and a guy's in a meeting in Alcoholics Anonymous, and he says, and he picks up a white chip? Because I think it has something to do more than, you know, maybe what I'm saying. It has to do with what's going on with his heart and how this whole deal works, which is really sort of mysterious. We think we understand, but we don't understand. And you know, here's the deal. The deal is that I could never experience life in any aspect, whether it was on top of the world or in the dumps, sober. I have the opportunity now. I experience I get the whole enchilada. Nobody hates fear more than I hate fear. Nobody hates loneliness more than I hate loneliness. And nobody hates anxiety more than I hate anxiety. And I want to tell you something. And I get to experience that stuff sober. You know, and I'll tell you, you haven't lived until you've gone through. You haven't lived. Sure, Dolores, you don't know what it's like. You know what I mean? You're laughing, you know. You'll find out one day. You haven't lived until you've experienced that deal and come out the other end. You know? And you know something? You haven't really lived until you've experienced, like that gal said that you were listening to, I feel great. A's been great. I've never had a bad day. Experience that deal sober. Until you've experienced happiness and joy sober. Because if everything you've experienced always is either during a time when you're drinking or there's bookends you're drinking, and then if drinking is a part of that, you don't even get to, it's all false emotion. It's all false. You don't get to experience it what the way it really is like. And the other thing is, there's something about going through life sober, and I'm not just talking about physically sober. I mean sober in your mind, that sort of works on your soul and builds character. And you know, some I can't even explain that, except here's the cool thing about Alcoholics Anonymous. Here's the cool thing about this whole deal. This is why you don't even have to be a good speaker to do this. The cool thing about, all you have to do is trust in God. Because if you trust in God and you're not worried about what do they think about me, then you know, you understand that what this has to do with is, if you're in a group of Alcoholics Anonymous with people who are trying to stay sober, the ones who have been living this thing understand what you're saying, even if you're not making any sense. You know why? Because they're living it. They're saying, I know what that guy's talking about. I know exactly what that guy's talking about. You know, I know what that deal is all about. So I want to read just a couple things because I only have like 10 minutes. So I want to read the things. I really want to read the things that I always. This is the kind of one of the things I was talking about before the. Let me tell you how sick I am, you know. I've been married a little over 25 years. I became the North American distributor of small Cuban women. Some of them aren't that small. And so I've got pictures of my children and grandchildren. That's Natalia. You can't see that in the back. Tough. You know, that's why you should sit up front. And this is Alexandra. This is Natalia and Isabella. You know, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. So this is like a half an hour in 5 minutes, you know? It doesn't show up on tape, but you know, this is now you can't say, you see the yellow thing in her mouth? That's like a spongy toy. Now is this gorgeous? This I gotta pass around. You can take that, pass that around. This is Natalia and this is Vanessa, and you can take that and pass that around. This is my, you know, there's some of you that think this is pretty goofy, you know what I mean? A guy at an A meeting passing around pictures of, pass the whole thing around, pictures of his family. Listen, look, I got to explain something. You know what the 8 steps about? You know what the 8 steps about? It's about that. It's about a guy that couldn't have a decent relationship for 5 minutes with any man or woman on the planet, let alone any decent romantic relationship or husband-wife relationship, and all his life sat around wishing, why can't I have a family? Why can't I have kids? Why can't I have this? And never quite seeming to be able to do it, so making fun of everybody else. And a guy who's totally imperfect before, during, and now. And married for 25 years with a wife and three grandchildren, one more on the way. In a decent marriage, in a good marriage to a good lady with great kids, all of which are totally dysfunctional. You know, I like to say, you know, I've been married for 25 years and I love my wife and it's a great marriage, but the first 24 were shit, you know, and it's kind of rough. The first 24 is kind of rough, and, you know, so I'll be hanging around with my wife and kids and they'll be saying stuff to me and my sponsees will say, how do you handle that? And I say, handle what? I don't know if you remember the story about my first sponsor when I was yelling and screaming about something, and he said, Russell, it doesn't bother me like it bothers you. Man, you can handle just about any kind of marriage if it don't bother you. You know? You know, I go around to AA meetings and, you know, all people talk, you know what does it say? Burn the consciousness into any man's mind that he can get this thing and stay sober and be okay no matter what. Wife or no wife, job or no job, you know, this or no this, whatever the heck's going on. You know, the only requirement is he trust in God and clean house. The only requirement is that he have a relationship with God. He can get sober no matter what, right? That's the deal, the relationship with God. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. And you go to AA rooms, and I'm not putting this down, but this is the nature of the beast. And the nature of the beast is we say it doesn't matter whether you get your wife. It doesn't matter whether you have your job. It doesn't matter whether your car's not working. Your car's with none of this stuff matters. It makes no difference. You know, see to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will, you know, you look to him, you know, focus on him and all other things will be added on to you. Not a new concept. You know, read Ecclesiastes, not a new concept. I mean, it's all through the Bible, all the way up to deal. They're reading all the way up to Bill Wilson, who was saying it. Not a new concept. And I walk into an AA meeting and what do people are talking about? They're talking about the wife, the job, the this, the situation. They're talking about everything that's not supposed to mean anything, except it means everything. And trying to figure out in the sense, in the ambit of what we have now, how can I escape from the world when the world is killing me and it's killing me and I can't handle it? And I hear what these guys are talking about. I hear what they're saying in the big book. I understand what's going on. How do I do it? How do I do it? And I love that quote from the Bible, from the Apostle Paul, I've learned to be content in all things. And that's what this is all about. I've learned that other part. He says, in this world you'll have problems, but I have overcome the world. How do you overcome the world when the world is killing you? When you're not fit for life? Well, Bill Wilson, when he drank, remember when Bill Wilson wife, he says, but soon worldly clamors, overwhelm me. But then he says this other line, I want to quote it exactly. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him, there he is again, with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors. Worldly clamors. Them clamors are going to get. Let me tell you something. You know what worldly clamors are? Let me tell you what they are. They're the things you're thinking about when you're not focused on him. You know what worldly clamors are? They're the things that cause you to say, I'm getting a divorce. They're the crap you're focusing on when you're not focusing on him. They're the things that you're saying when you say, how can I live like this? How could I ever survive like this? They're the things you're focusing on that you think are so important when you're not focusing on the things that you should be focusing on. You know what worldly clamors are? They're the things you're thinking about right before you say the words very depressed. Well, it's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, most of those within myself, and I thought it was outside the world. This is all AA. This is AA. This is the craziest program in the world. I sit here and I read the big book exactly like it's written, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, our basic text that has never been changed, the basic text of the program. I read it exactly like it's been written. And people come up to me and say, wow, I love what you say. And I and I like take credit for it. You know, I say, well, listen, I'm just reading right here. He says, you know why? Because, and I'm not putting down AA. I love AA. I love AA meetings. But what has happened, because it's human nature, is over a period. You know, do you have any idea what this place would look like without the big book? If we were just flying by the, if we didn't have this thing? If we just started talking, flying by the street, forget him. He'd be gone. He would have left a long time. He would have left a long time ago. We've been trying to write him out of this book. Let me tell you something. Even with this book, even with him all over this book, AAers have been trying to write him out of this deal for 50 years. From word one, they've been trying to make this some sort of psychological thing when we know that doesn't work. We've tried the psychiatrist. We've been trying to write him out. And so it becomes like there's a line in the Bible. It's one of my favorite lines. They're talking about these ersatz religions, the people that are trying to write him out of this deal. And they say it became a form of religion without power. Without power. And what amazes me is you see a lot of people mad at God and wanting to hear God. But you know, when you start reading the stuff that's in the big book, you know, it's amazing how powerful it is. AAs think that they've actually heard something. They come to an, it's amazing when you read AA and you talk about AA and you don't try to fluff it up or make it look nice or change it so that somebody won't get pissed off or take out the word God and just read it exactly the way it's written. It's amazing how people think, holy shit, I think I really heard something. No wonder back 50 years ago, no wonder 50% of the people who were listening to this crap were staying sober versus one half of 1% today. Because over any period of time, the nature of the group is to try to dilute this thing and make it palatable to the lowest common denominator, you know, lest we become politically incorrect. You know, and all I do is I come in here and I just read the book because, you know, I'm like a big book person. It's like this young lady right here, You know, it says big book stuff. I mean, you start talking big book stuff. You know, that's all I do. I just read. It says those within myself, and so had been ever since how blind I had been. You know, it's incredible what a hunger. Isn't this a shocker? It's incredible what a hunger there is out there for the big book of alcoholics. It's incredible what a hunger there is out there for the real AA program. For the real AA program. It's incredible how the real AA program, how much power it has, how it can move people, how it can create miracles. It's incredible how it can do that. And all you have to do is read the book and say this, you know, and like you get credit for it. It's like, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? And that's what this thing is all about. It's all about the miracle of having these, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm a guy who, is a guy who could not face life sober. You know, I used to sit there in bars and watch all the other guys leave, even the ones that would come and say, I got to get over to my wife, I got to leave. And I'd say, you know, where are they going? The booze is here, you know, like Ray O'Keefe used to say. And watch him go. And I used to make fun of them. I used to hate them. I used to hate all those people while deep down inside saying, man, why can't I have that stuff? But, you know, if you know deep down inside you can't have it because you ain't good enough or for whatever reason, because of the kind of crud you are, and it'll never be yours and you'll never have that deal no matter how hard you try. When you know that deal, you might as well just cut it down and rip it apart and trash it. And so that's what I did. And so I'm 25 years sober. Not because of myself or my own brain, but because of a loving sponsor who kicked my ass, and because of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and because the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and because of that, I carry around, not for this meeting, but because I'm so proud of my family, and I love them so much, although they're nuts, you know, and they're crazy, and they got all the problems we all have, and all the sorts of stuff, and I'm crazy about them, and I carry around these, and I want to sit down at an AA meeting while I'm doing an A step, and what I really want to do is I want to take you all aside. I want to say, I want to show you pictures of my family. And I say, well, you know, I can't really do that. And I say, why the hell not? When that's what this thing is really all about. It's all about some guy saying, I want to show you the pictures of my family. And I'm a drunk. I'm a drunk just like you. I want to show you my grandchildren. I want to show you my wife. I'd like to show you all this stuff. Hey, listen, sharper than a serpent's tooth, the tongue of an ungrateful child. And I got a few of them, you know what I mean? But they love me too. And here's the great thing. I counsel, you know, a preacher who's a very, very intelligent man, you know. He's got all sorts of degrees and everything like that. And he's going through some things in his marriage because, you know, just because you're in Dayton doesn't mean you don't go through stuff in your marriage. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. I'm just trying to tell him one thing, and I think he's ultimately trying to get it. He's trying so hard to save this marriage and change his wife. You know, Bill Wilson said, after the drinking, it's all about unhealthy dependencies. It's all about codependence, you know? And what do you think we're talking in here all the time, you know? We've left the drinking a long time ago, you know? Not the drinking. I mean, ultimately, because we're alcoholics, if we don't attend to this stuff, drinking is probably in the picture for us. Or you can have, or I'm not sure what's worse. I mean, I'm really not sure what's worse, you know, drinking and dying, or living a quiet life of desperation and blowing your brains out sober, if you call that. So I'm not sure what the deal is. I think it's sort of better to be happy, joyous, and free. That's what I'd like to shoot for, the Al Kennedy form of sobriety, you know? You know, you're just one of those minors. You know what I mean? That's what I think it's all about. And you know, and he's trying, like so much of us try when we're drinking, we're not in program, to try to manufacture, construct, or hold that family thing together so that it looks good, smells good, and it's all working. And you know, the harder he tries, the more it falls apart. And you know, it's so hard to hold. You know, it's so hard to capture people. It's a tough deal, you know what I mean? To force them to do the things and be the things you want them to be. And all I'm trying to tell them, and it's very hard to tell that when the ship is going down, you really do want to, you know, bail water from the ship, you know? It's very hard. You really do want to rearrange the deck chairs or something, you know? And you want to do something to try to change things, you know? I mean, when you have powerless, and when the big book says we're powerless and we can't manage our own lives, you really do want to manage things. And all I'm trying to tell them is, I say, look, you need to stop working on your wife and kids. You need to work on yourself. You need to work on yourself. Now, here's the weird thing, and I can't explain this, so I'm not going to try to, but I think it has something to do with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it has something to do with the A-step. I think it has to do some with the relationships. If you look at my life, and I'm not the best AA, and I'm not the perfect AA, and I'm just, you know, just an AA guy, you know, just doing this deal, and I'd like to think, as the sixth step says, you know, I marked this one thing because at one time in my life, I actually planned to actually talk about this tonight. That this one part where it says, this is the step that separates the man from the boy, so declared a well-loved clergyman who happens to be one of A's greatest friends. He goes on to explain that any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step six on all his faults without any reservations has indeed come a long way spiritually and is therefore entitled to be called a man who is sincerely trying to grow in the image and likeness of his creator. Now, here's the deal. When you start talking about a book that says to separate out the men from the boys, the men are individuals who are sincerely trying to grow in the image and likeness of his creator. If you understand those words, if you really understand the implication of those words, now you can sort of slough over those words, make believe those words aren't there, just sort of go next to the psychological stuff, you know. But if you really understand the implications of somebody who is focused on becoming the image and likeness of a perfect creator, you understand, although the book says we're never going to get there, but you're focused on that. If you understand what the implications of that deal, then you understand what the sixth step is really talking about is the difference between the man who's running around trying to do what he was doing before he came into Alcoholics Anonymous, the man who was trying to do his life exactly the way his life was before Alcoholics Anonymous, gather up all the money, the sex, the gals, and everything like that, but stay sober at the same time and go to meetings, and the guy that is only interested, that is totally focused in God, how can I follow you, and what can I do for you? And focused on him, you know what I mean? And that's the two deals that's going on. The one that's trying to escape from the world and look to him, and the one that's just trying to dive even more into the world so we can gather up all that worldly stuff, you know? That deal. And here's the deal. What I understand is I come into Alcoholics Anonymous and I wasn't even looking to gather up the family. And I wasn't looking to please the kids. And I wasn't even looking for the good marriage. I really wasn't. I don't even know why I got married. I got married like 3 months sober. I have no idea what I was. Who knows what they're doing 3 months sober? You know what I mean? I mean, who knows? You know what I mean? I didn't want any of this stuff. Here's the only thing I wanted. I wanted to be like Al Kennedy. I wanted to be like Joe Snyder. I wanted to be like Bud Dunbar. I didn't want to drink. My entire focus, I would say in my entire life for the last 25 years, has been in Alcoholics Anonymous, the god of my understanding, trying to grow in that deal, and all this crap just came added. It was like a bonus. It was like I didn't concentrate on being a good father, and somehow and so I didn't go to all my kids' events. I didn't sit there and try to say love me because I'm your father. I spend most of my time in AA, and they know it, and somehow they love and respect me anyway. And I didn't try to be a good husband. As a matter of fact, the truth is, honestly, I'm a lousy husband. I really am. I spend most of my time in AA, and all that sort of stuff. And somehow my wife loves me and respects me. I don't understand. I got other guys in my life, and they're running around, and they say, I can't go to meetings because I got to be with my wife. I can't go to the other. And they got lousy marriages. And I'm spending most of my time in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm doing this and that, but I'm home every night, and I'm doing everything. And, I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. And all I'm trying to tell this guy is say, work on yourself and your relationship with God, and all things will be added to you. And he said, but you don't understand about my wife, and you don't understand about my kids. He says, you got to work on yourself. I said, you can't fix that deal. It's all about unhealthy dependencies. You got to work on yourself. You got to work, and that's what this 8-step's all about. It's about fixing up relationships. And how do we fix up relationships? By working on ourselves, by looking into ourselves. Where were we wrong? What's going on with you? And it talks about how it's all about working on me. Now, it has an effect. It has an – everything we do, everything we do bad in us – everything that's going on bad in us has a ripple effect out there with them. But you know something? Anything that's going on, any miracle that's happening to you has a ripple effect too on the outside, maybe even as great as or more. That's the whole deal. It's so hard to have a person, it's so hard to take a person and try to get them, instead of focusing on the earthquake, the seeming earthquake that's going to get to focus on the other deal. To focus on him when him's sort of like invisible. The wife, the kids, and the screaming, it's all here, and the hymn is like invisible. That's why it's good to have places like Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe in testimony. I believe in people saying, I was alive, now I'm dead. I was a drunk, and now I'm sober. I believe in people saying, look at the pictures and everything like that, because the only thing we get to look at is other people. And their testimony is powerful. And you say, and you just sort of look at them, and I don't know what it is. You sort of say, that guy's not bullshitting me. That's the real deal. That really happened. I feel there's something about that guy. I feel like he's just like me. He's not higher than me or lower than me. He's just like me. Maybe, possibly, who knows? Maybe one day it could happen. And there comes faith, There comes faith and there comes hope. And then it all comes along that way and it all sort of works that deal. And yet a whole bunch of people won't want that. They'll sort of turn away and they'll go the other way. None of this has probably anything to do with the 8-step or anything, but I burned the 30 minutes, So I guess I get paid anyway, hopefully. So thank you. Congratulations to the birthday people.
Well, we had the secretary's report, so we have a great way of